Sounded good. As I mentioned, ladies and gentlemen, if you did happen to visit the boys on their winter tour, they had a fantastic support from a gentleman you'll probably recognise immediately. With his own unique tribute to the great late Jake Thackeray, will you please welcome on stage John Watterson, who is Fake Thackeray!
Thank you very much. I have to say you are a much, much younger and, dare I say, more attractive bunch than Peggy led us to expect. Does anybody remember Jake Thackeray? Can anybody recall what he sounded like? Oh, bugger. It was a grand upstanding bantam cock, so brisk and stiff and spry, with springy step and a jaunty bloom and a purposeful look in his eye. In his little black blinking eye he had. I took him to the coop and I introduced him to me 17 wide-eyed hens. He upped and he took like a hero tops, and he bowed from the waist to them all, and then he upped and he took them all again, he did. And then upon the peace of me ducks and me geese, he rudely did intrude. With glazed eyes and open mouths, they bore it all with fortitude, and a little bit of gratitude they did. He jumped my giggling guinea fowl, and thrust his attentions upon my 20 hysterical turkeys, and a visiting migrant swan. And the bantam thundered on. He ravished my fantail pigeons, my lily-white columbine, and while I was locking up the butchery garden, he jumped me parrot from the eye. She was sitting on my shoulder at the time, she was. Then all of a sudden, with a gasp and a shudder, he clasped his hands to his head, lay flat on his back with his toes in the air, me bantam cock lay dead. And the vultures circled overhead, they do. What a noble brute, what a champion cock, what a way to live and die. I was digging him a grave to save his bones from the hungry buzzards in the sky, when the bantam opened up a sly little eye. He gave me a grin and a terrible wink, the way sex maniacs do. He said, you see them big daft buggers up there, they'll be down in a minute or two. They'll be down in a minute or two. Thank you very much. Thank you. Peggy said you wouldn't be as scary as you look. My name's John Watterson, on bass is Paul Thompson. It's our pleasure just to recreate a few of Jake Thackeray's songs. Jake passed away 11 years ago, almost 2002, and 6 years after that, I went to a memorial do for Jake. It was down in Monmouth in the pub that had been Jake's local. And it was such a privilege. I met Jake's wife, Sheila, and his sons. And I was able to chat and find out things about my musical hero that I wouldn't have been able to find out anywhere else. And little things stuck in my mind. And particularly the fact that Jake was a big Led Zeppelin fan. I don't know why. I don't know why that stuck, but I thought, I'm coming to Crop Ready, and I've got that little bit of information, and Alice Cooper's going to be on. How am I going to sort of use that? I thought I know what I'll do. I'll incorporate a bit of Led Zeppelin into a Jake Thackeray song, because I think he'd like that. And it's taken us some time, but we wanted to do it so you couldn't spot the join between their stuff and his. And it's taken us a while, but I think we've cracked it. We thought landlady and three lovely daughters, who used to come and make my bed each day. They used to come and clean my living quarters, but their mother made quite sure they didn't stay. There was Mary, she seen Cherry. There was Helen, she was well and truly skeptical about my qualities. There was Julie, she was truly well proportioned, but her caution brought exhaustion to my aching arteries. But I was wrong, they weren't at all impervious to the possibilities of high romance. And I sensed a certain girlish nerviness in the way they folded my pajama pants. And I was right, for late one night, sweet little Mary, like a fairy as I lay sleeping, came a-creeping to my side. And she was mine, it was divine, but we were doomed, for very soon came Sister Helen into the bedroom, and she cried. Mary, go to bed. Off Mary went. Now, young man, Helen said, for your punishment, we mustn't have a fight, we mustn't have a row. Turn off that light, it's my turn now. Well, I was young and relatively vigorous, and though I still protest my innocence, by temperament I'm strictly non-polygamous, and if I sinned, well, I sinned in self-defense. Nevertheless, I must confess I wouldn't miss that kind of bliss when it was ended. I was rendered comatose, when loud and clear and very near and in my ear a loud voice spoke, and I was awoken from my post-coital doze. Helen, go to bed. Helen went away. Now, young man, Julie said, you will have to pay. You've blighted Helen's charms and filched her purity. Open up them arms, come and filch me. I was amazed and really rather tired. I thought I'd given all that I could give. A little kip was all that I desired. But I'm British, so me upper lip was stiff. She was chaotic, idiotic, so exotic and ecstatic, acrobatic and emphatically fine. All to no good, for when I could open my eyes, to my surprise I found her mother gazing into mine. Julie, go to bed. Julie left the scene. Now listen, Ma, I said, I know the old routine. I'll do what you like, but I shall be vexed, and I'll bloody well go on strike if Grandma's next. Thank you very much. We're gonna do a very silly song now. Jake wrote a few songs for his children, and there were, some of them are, well, they're silly. I'll do this one. It's Jake's shortest song, and I'll see what you think. There was a man who, when he won stuff at the stalls and village fairs, would always choose the tortoise, not the goldfish, not the teddy bear. He'd always answer when they asked him what he wanted for a prize. I'll have another of them little crunchy pie, crunchy pie, crunchy pies, crunchy pies, and there was hunger in his eyes. I'll have another of them little crunchy pie, crunchy pie. I know that God created tortoises, but is God always wise? He never gives us clear distinctions as with tortoises and pies. He could have spared such moral horror to the likes of me and you, and doubtless to the little crunchy tortoise too. Tortoise too, tortoise too. Oh Jesus, tell us what to do. And for Christ's sake, tell the little crunchy tortoise too. Silly song. Here's one called Our Dog. You haven't got A bloody clue you never ever do the things that proper dogs do. Like finding your way home or what to do with bones as proper dogs do. You walk in your sleep, you feel worried by the sheep. Jesus Christ, I've never ever known a dog as clueless as you. You haven't got a bloody clue. If I threw you a stick, you'd bring me back a lampshade. You cannot climb the stairs, you stare at empty chairs, you listen to the arches. You niff ladies' frocks and the crotches of clergymen. Jesus Christ, I've never ever known a dog as clueless as you. But you are so nice, ah, so nice. You bark at the darkness, you fart at our parties. But you're so nice, ah, so nice. Visitors who visit us twice. You haven't got a bloody clue. I know no other job that's got a favourite handbag. You've got no sense of smell, you cannot even tell a policeman from a lamppost. You sleep and you eat and God knows you excrete. Jesus Christ, I've never ever known a dog as clueless as you. But you are so nice, ah, so nice. Burglars adore you, they come back for more of you. So nice. Bloody clue, I couldn't give a toss because I rather like it. I couldn't give a toss because you do not do the things that proper dogs do. You don't bite, you don't fight. There is no kind of spite about you. Jesus Christ, I'm pretty sure would love a dog as clueless as you. Because you are so nice, ah, so nice. No howling, no scowling, no prowling, no growling. Just so nice, ah, so nice. People think of you, think of you twice.
Thank you.
Thank you. Those of us of a certain age will remember Jake Thackeray from the telly, from programmes such as The Braden Beat and That's Life. And he had to do, his job there was to do the weekly topical funny song. And I'm going to do one from that era, so anybody under 50 will not have a clue about the historical references for this, and I'm sorry about that. But it's an interesting song. It's about the Miss World competition, and it's a song which got Jake into a lot of trouble, because on the day he was supposed to go in and rehearse it, he was ill, and he couldn't go. And the producer of the programme, That's Life, didn't know what they were going to get, and this is what Jake gave them.
Breasts and thighs that hypnotize me, galvanize me, so agonizingly, for such a size that, not surprisingly, she can hardly move at all. These are the queens of the earth, deserving our reverence, our homage. Miss Isles of Scilly, Miss Central Chile, Miss Doggerbank, Miss West Bromwich. And we guarantee the display will dispel all male melancholia. You'll see so much of Miss Ram, of Kutch, not to mention Miss Inner Mongolia. Breasts and thighs that hypnotize me, galvanize me, so agonizingly, but such a size that, not surprisingly, she can hardly move at all. Miss South Rhodesia is here. You'll see she's a shade or two lighter. She's awful keen to keep her party clean, and you DI washes whiter. And what does Miss USA say? She says that she's everyone's sister, but she don't give a damn for Miss Vietnam, and she reckons Miss Russia's a mister. Ba-ba-ba breasts and thighs that hypnotize me, galvanize me, so agonizingly, but such a size that, not surprisingly, she can hardly move at all. claim their fleshy perfection. Their withers and their flanks, their hams and their shanks, open to public inspection. But the judges are discriminating men. This is no job for no nitwit. They must carefully watch every cleavage and crotch for the girl who's the world's biggest tit-bit. Ba-ba-ba breasts and thighs that hypnotize me, galvanize me. So I go agonizingly with such a size that, not surprisingly, she can hardly move at all. She hardly moves at all.
Thank you very much. Can we get a bit less bass, please, John? A bit less bass in the monitor. I've heard him before.
There once was an old captain who wished nothing more than to live again his voyages and walk by the seashore. A simple man and a good man, but the bane of his life was his ill-tempered, bad-hearted bitch of a wife. Though the jolly captain was plagued by her bile, he smoked his long pipe and he smiled upon her tenderly. He didn't like her much, but he loved her, despite her rough tongue. The way-faced old nagbag had been his pretty darling once. She fell down the staircase, she fractured her neck. She lay upon the linoleum in a black apoplexy. Her baleful eyes bulged with unspeakable abuse. It seemed that her spleen had been overproducing. So the jolly captain carried her to bed. Close your poor eyes, he said, sleep a little peaceably. And he bought her fresh butter, cool watercress, violet and peppermint to soothe her heart's bitterness. From her deathbed she said, if you marry when I die, I'll come back from my coffin and haunt you vexatiously. With a howl and a scowl and a scurry and a shake, she spat out her peppermint and went to vex her maker. Unhappy captain, so sad when she died, he closed her wild eyes and he cried a bit on the Friday. But he saw no good reason for wasting away, so he married an apple-cheeked girl on the Saturday. Alas, jolly captain, you're married too soon. She'll come back to torment you from underneath her tombstone. She'll scratch and she'll scrape her way up from the grave, hacking her way back again with furious fingernails. No, said the jolly captain, she'll stay in her place. She can hack, she can claw till she's black in the face. No, she won't come to haunt me or taunt me, I know, 'cause I buried her face downward, she's a long way to go.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. Jake is probably best known and remembered for his funny songs, but he wrote an awful lot of good serious stuff as well. And we're going to squeeze one serious song in. It was written early on in Jake's career, but some might think it was quite prophetic. Just get a little bit serious and depressed for a minute, and then we'll restore normal service.
Down at the Black Swan, we'll go sing our love song. We'll sit, we'll booze, we've got nothing to lose. We've lost it all down at the Black Swan. We'll drink hard, we'll drink strong, drink deep, drink long, drink heads off, drink on. Now that she's gone, now she's gone. Give us another pint, one more pint, and love your very splitter bin. We'll be here all night. We're on a bender, we're tanking up. We don't go home tonight. There's nobody there.
And it's about a blacksmith and a toffee maker. And the blacksmith falls in love with a woman in a village where he lives, but he can't tell her because he's too shy. So nothing happens in this song for about 43 verses, but then it cracks on apace. Fancied yourself. She was not born to attract. She was lined up for the shelf. If it were not for the fact the blacksmith loved her well. He loved her like hell. He used to grunt and sigh, fit to die, but from afar. For he was shy, as blacksmiths often are. She made a meager livelihood from the homemade toffee that she'd sell up and down the neighborhood, to a butterscotch and caramel clientele. And optimistically she used to think that she would get a husband, yet she was far too modest, too weak, too proud to be coquette. You bet, cause she'd got a squint, she was skinny, she was skint. You'd never see that she so palpably bizarre and banal could ever be a femme fatale. Well, time has no time to spare, and the years went by as they must. The spinster shivered with despair, and the blacksmith sweated with lust. It's a bust, until one day she went into the church, her simple heart to unclose. Lord, don't leave me in the lurch. Don't turn up your nose, God knows I'm not much cop, but me legs go up to the top. Lord, tell me why you pass me by, and if you can, dear Lord on high, get me a man. Darcy, she was in for a shock. For high in the tower like a bird, the smith was bending the clock. And he had overheard every word, he nearly fell off his perch with delight. But stout fellow, he kept his head. He didn't snigger as a lot of men might, but in the tones of Jehovah instead he said, "You're not bereft, there's a good lad left. He's nothing flash, but still reliable, staunch and true. Dear daughter, will a blacksmith do?" Well, the spinster's eyes opened wide when she heard the Almighty One. In a trembling voice she replied, "Lord, any man is better than none." Whereupon the joyous blacksmith went home at the trot, dressed up to kill in a tick, went and asked her if she'd have him or not. And she said yes damn quick, because she knew her state. It's daft to wait when love is all that you, to miss your cue, delay your demur, in answer to a little creed occur. Now this is as much a romance as all of the others that you get, and not so much a song and a dance as your Romeo and Juliet, nor as wet, because their love didn't go to their heads. No call to go berserk. The spinster went up to bed, and the blacksmith went to work. Don't smirk, such loves are few. They were happy, they were true, they knew their heart's desires. When love requires, with no deceit, he used his fires to boil up her sweets.
Very much. Paul Thompson, guys. Thank you. Now, we've had a few requests for this song. I'm going to sort of pass the buck and say, well, it wasn't really our idea to do it. Listen, this song is not at all offensive if you're a bloke, okay? And ladies, please remember that Jake wrote his songs before political correctness was invented, you know. And looking back from today's perspective, one or two of his songs might be seen as a bit un-PC. A couple you could label as sexist, but even one or two you might regard as offensive. This is all of those. It's very politically incorrect. It's highly sexist, is most offensive, and I'd like to dedicate it to my wife. A good bum on a woman, it makes my day. To me it is palpable proof of God's existence, a posteriori. Also I love breasts and arms and alcohol knees. It's the tongue on a woman that spoils the job for me. Please understand, I respect and admire the frailer sex, and I honour them every bit as much as the next. Misogynist, but give some women the ghost of a chance to talk, and thereupon they'll go on again, on again, on again, on again, on again, on again, on. I fell in love with a woman with wonderful thighs and hips, and a sensational belly. I just never noticed her lips were always moving. Only when we got to the altar, and she had to say I do, and she folded her arms and gathered herself and took in a breath, and I knew she could have gone on again, on again, on again, till the entire congregation passed out, and the vicar passed on, and the choir boys passed through puberty. At the reception I gloomily noticed her family's jubilant mood, their maniacal laughter, and their ghastly gratitude. She talks to me when I go for a shave or a sleep or a swim. She talks to me on a Sunday when I go singing hymns and drinking heavily when I go mending my chimney pots. She's down there in the street, and at 95 on my motorbike, she's on the pillion seat, whittering on again, and again. When I'm eating or drinking or reading or thinking or when I'm saying my rosary, she will never stop talking to me. She is one of those women who will never use three or four words when a couple of thousand will easily do. So talks without stopping to me in our bed of a night, throughout the sweetest of our intimate delight. She never gives over, not even stopping while we go hammer and tongue towards the peak, except maybe for a sigh and a groan and one perfunctory shriek. And then she goes on again, on again, on again, on, and I must assume that she has never noticed that she's just been interrupted. Totally unruffled she is, and as far as I can see, I might just as well have been posting a letter or stirring up the tea. Not take a hint, not once she's made a start. I could yawn or belch or bleed or faint or flatulate. She'd not drop a syllable. I could stand in front of her grimly sharpening up an axe. I could sprinkle her with paraffin and ask her for a match. She'd just go on again, on again, on again, even more. The hind leg of a donkey is peanuts for her, she can pour. The balls of a buffalo, mother of God, I cried, one day I'll let your kingdom come. And in the meantime, mother, won't you strike this bugger dumb? Well, believe it or not, she appeared to me then and there. The Blessed Virgin herself in answer to my prayer. Despite the vulgarity, shimmering, softly dressed in blue and holding up a hand, I cocked a pious ear as the Mother of God began. And she went on again, on again, on again, on, and I will have to state how very much I sympathize with the rest of the family. Give some women the ghost of a chance to talk, and thereupon they'll go on again, on again, on again, on again. Again and again and again and again. They will go on again, on again, on again, on again, on again, on again, on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We're going to do this, and then we're going to do a little thing in the signing tent, and we're happy to sign anything. And what else can I tell you? We love doing folk clubs and village halls, so any folkies or village hall people out there, have a look on the website, fakethackeray.com, or I've got my own Facebook page now, I'm very proud of, Fake Thackeray Facebook page. I'm getting up to date with all the social media. You know, I even managed to put a video onto YouTube all by myself last week. And I've just been told it's just gone fungal, which I'm told is a good thing. Listen, Peggy said if we asked you nicely, you might help us out on this song. I'd like you to just sing a couple of words. Will you do that? Will you help us? Okay. The words you need to sing are Sister Josephine. If you could do that, and do that, you know, five times louder than the person next to you, so that Jake himself can hear. So we'll just have a little practice. Oh, Sister Josephine. Oh, Sister Josephine, your turn. Oh, one more. Oh, fantastic. You won't get guitar work like that on School's Out, will you? Oh, Sister Josephine, what do all these policemen mean by coming to the convent in a grim limousine after Sister Josephine? Why, you, sister, you sit with your boots up on the altar screen and smoke one last cigar. What a funny nun you are. The policemen say that Josephine's a burglar in disguise. Big Bad Bernard, 15 years on the run. The sisters disbelieve it, no, that can't be Josephine. Just think of all her tenderness towards the younger nuns. Oh, Sister Josephine, the
they're searching the chapel where you've been seen, the nooks and the crannies all the nuns counting, after Sister Josephine. Why you, sister, you sip one farewell Benedictine before your au revoir. A right funny nun you are. Admittedly, her hands are big and hairy and embellished with a curious tattoo. Admittedly, her voice is on the deep side, and she seems to shave more often than the other sisters do. Oh, Sister Josephine, founder of the convent pontoon team, they're searching your bundles of rare magazines after Sister Josephine. Why, you, Sister Josephine, you give a goodbye sniff of Benzedrine to the convent butchering on. A bloody funny nun you are. No longer will her snores ring through the chapel during prayers, nor her lustful moanings fill the stilly night. No more empty bottles of altar wine come cloaking from her cell. No longer will the cloister toilet seat stand up right on. Sister, slipping through their fingers like Vaseline, leaving them to clutch your empty crinoline after Sister Josephine. Are you, Sister Josephine, sprinting through the suburbs when last seen, dressed only in your wimple and your rosary? A right funny nun you seem to be. Well, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. You've been very kind. Listen, at this stage in the proceedings, we are supposed to play a little charade between performer and audience. I've no idea why we do this, but it's written on the instructions in the little dressing room thing. And apparently what we're supposed to do now is walk off pretending we've done all that song, even though we want to do another one. I don't know why we do that. It's just in the instructions. And then your job in this, now don't worry, we're not doing this, but your job, no. But your job would be to shout and stamp for a good 10 minutes and all that sort of nonsense. So we're not going to do that for two reasons, really. Firstly, we haven't got time. And secondly, we're not really convinced that you would play your part this afternoon. So we'll leave it at this. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much from me and Paul. That was our last song, and now we're going to do another one. This is about people in authority and the things they say to us and how we should regard it. Thanks, you've been absolutely super, it's been glorious. On my farm, the bull is the king of the yard. He's big, he's bad, he's strong, he's brave, he's hard. All of my older animals would readily concur. He is the one you salute, he's the one you call sir. But my hens, a noisy, flighty flock, led of course by my unsubmissive cock. Whenever his majesty, the bull, importantly goes by, they dance along behind him and they cry, beware of the bull. The bull, a bull, is the biggest of all. The boss he is because he's big and we are small. But the bigger the bull, bigger the bull, the bigger the bulls. The bigger the bull, the bigger and quicker and thicker the bull shine falls. That's the chorus. Beware of the bull, the dancing cock is right. Beware of whoever looks down upon you from a height. Beware of his honour, his excellence, his grace, his worship, full. Beware of his highness because of the bull. For if the boss, the chief, the chap at the top, should let a single lump of claptrap drop, the greater the weight and the height he is, the harder it will go, with a grander smut on the bleeders below. Beware of the bull.
the bull, the bull, the bull, the bull. Oh, he's the biggest of all, he's the boss. He is the boss, he is, because he's big and we are small. For the bigger the bull, bigger the bull, the bigger the bulls. The bigger the bull, the bigger and quicker and thicker the bull shine falls. The hero arrives, we hoist him shoulder high. He's good, he's wise, he's strong, he's brave, he's shy. How we have to plead with him, how bashfully he climbs up the steps of a microphone, two at a time. Then down it comes, slick, slithery pat. If you must put people in pedestals, wear a big hat. The tongue he's got is pure gold, the breast is pure brass. The feet are pure clay, but watch out for the arse. Beware of the bull. The bull, the bull, is as big as a bull. The boss he is because he's big and we are small. The bigger the bull, the bigger the bull, the bigger the bull, the bigger and quicker and thicker the bull shot. These well-known men so over-glorified, there's two of them here, their names on the poster outside. They are up here like this, and you are all down there. Remember their cock and their bull and mutter, beware. For when they've done, we clap, we cheer, we roar. For they are two jolly good fellows on call, more, more. How glorious it would be if before these boogers began, we all stood up together and solemnly sang. Last time, we heard the bull. The bull, the bull, is the biggest of all. The boss he is because he's big and we are small. But the bigger the bull, the bigger the bull. The bigger the bull, the bigger and quicker and thicker the bull shine falls. The bull is the biggest of all. He is the boss he is because he's big and we are small. But the bigger the bull, the bigger the bull, the bigger the bull, the bigger and quicker and thicker and slicker the bull shine falls.
Well done, John. Fake Thackeray, everybody. Let's hear it for John Watterson. Come on, John, come take a bow. Great stuff. Come out, John. He's gone. That was all right. That was good fun, wasn't it? Well done. Thanks to John Watterson, who was fake Thackeray there.